Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So
like,
you could just see
$600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years." What are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for two straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing, and I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, This man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
As the sun rises over the Arabian Sea on the coastal city of Mumbai, the day is beginning for the 10 million people who live in the crowded city slums. The Hegre family lives in the Kalava slum, in this tiny 10 by 10 foot concrete room. The 60 neighbors who live on their small lane all share just four toilets and this small room for bathing. The Hegre's three daughters, six-year-old twins Anisha and Tanisha, and 12-year-old big sister Anchal, are up early getting ready for school. Their mother, Parvati, helps get the girls and her husband, Rajesh, out the door. After their dad drops the girls off at school, he heads to his job at a security company where he earns about $200 a month. Then Parvati cleans their house, makes lunch and dinner, and performs her daily prayers. Then the most important task of all, she collects the next day's supply of water. In this slum, water only flows during a two-hour window, just once a day.
I felt that you can't come to India without experiencing what we've all heard about the poverty. But I also wanted to frame that story in such a way that it represented the truth of the people.
Anchal,
I think this is so wonderful that you're giving me the tour guide. You speak English so well. So it wasn't just people living in slums, eating out of the trash piles and not having a place to defecate and all the stuff that comes with being extremely, extremely poor. But for me, every story is about the heart of the people. And so what is the heart of the people? How do you find a story that shows somebody who is living a life of sparseness of poverty, but also still has the heart. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Great. All right, we're going here?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Showers of blessings. Oh, thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you, family. Thank you. I have to tell you, when I stepped in the door, I was thinking, okay, where is the house? Okay, where's the rest of the house? And then I realized I was already in it.
All right, everybody quiet, please.
Okay, I wanted to start off by just saying thank you for allowing me into your home. How long have you lived in this home?
Living for 33 years.
33 years?
Yeah.
You don't look 33 years old, but you've lived here your whole life?
Yeah.
So your family was here before?
Yeah, my family is also here.
In this space?
In this space.
And this is the entire space. The entire family lives and sleeps in this space. One, two, three, four, five of you sleep in this room.
In this room.
You eat in this room. You play in this room. You share family time together in this room, which is from here to here, the five of you.
Yeah.
Okay. This may be an obvious question, and I don't mean to be offensive, but does it ever feel crowded? Does it feel crowded?
No.
It doesn't feel crowded.
No, we just manage it. We have a habit of sleeping because we don't feel anything.
You don't feel anything?
Yeah.
And how do you do it? I mean, how do you physically do it?
I sleep in that corner.
Where I am right now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she sleeps over here, my mother over here. My another sister over here and my father over here.
Okay. All right. Would you say this is this a hard life? Is it difficult?
Yes, ma'am.
It is. Yeah. And tell me what's the most difficult thing about it.
Difficult work,
means he has a problem at that he cannot manage his salary not for four people.
Yeah. This was an arranged marriage, right?
Yeah.
It was an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it turn into a love marriage?
After 1 year, I love it.
After 1 year,
yeah.
you love it. Is he a good partner?
Yeah, very good partner.
Good partner.
Yeah.
Do you have a good life with him?
Yeah, very nice life.
I recently renovated this 100 square foot building into a cozy tiny home, and in this video I'll show you around and break down the cost along the way. So, let's get started. You enter the property from the side because the building is located in my garden, detached from the main house here in the east of England. I've lived in the house for 4 years, but it's currently undergoing some major renovations, so the tiny house gives me somewhere to live in the meantime. Finished, I'll be renting it out, so this tiny space will serve as storage for my stuff, as I'll be moving away for a while. The extra tall fence can make the space feel darker, but will provide privacy to the tenants if ever I need to come and collect something. Now, you enter the tiny home via this lobby, which feels surprisingly spacious thanks to the wall-to-wall floor mat. When paired with these wall-hung shoe storage boxes, it really helps to maximize the space, and if they are any deeper, I'll be walking into them all the time. With the coat and key racks finishing off this space, and the total cost of everything in this room, from the floor mat, the shoe storage, and the coat rack was just £121. Not a bad start for this budget build, which I gave myself around £8,500 for. Now, as we take the long walk into the bathroom, it's worth mentioning that there was no running water in this building at all when the renovation started, so that was a significant extra cost. Now, of course, this is a small bathroom, but the shower feels incredibly spacious, and this wall was actually moved back in order to achieve this, which allows for a much more relaxing shower for someone as tall as me, and much more legroom when using the loo. The cost of this room was just over £1,100 in materials and £4,000 in labour, for a total of £5,124, which is where the majority of the budget for this entire renovation went. But you may have noticed there's no sink, which means washing your hands in the kitchen. A small space calls for a small kitchen, and that's exactly what I've done here. But despite that, there's still plenty of room to store, prep, and cook food at home. There's no oven in here, but I rarely use one anyway, and this four-burner cooktop is more than enough to cook all of my meals, and the microwave.
Okay. You didn't miss anything yesterday, folks. We didn't do a podcast live stream yesterday. I was running errands, and our errands ran overtime. And matter of fact, double overtime. So today we're covering what we would have covered yesterday had we been on yesterday. So anyway, so today we're on part three now, and I sort of tweaked the title. Today's title, where it was last week's title, that's why we're on part three. 293 ways to turn $120,000 liability into a $1 million asset. Once again, this is part three, and once again, we tweaked the title. The original title was turn a liability into an asset. So we're still on the same thing, but I just fine-tuned it to 293 ways to turn a $120,000 liability into a $1 million asset. Once again, we're on part three. Now, I want to play something that's going to lay the tone for the day. And this basically deals with, and we're dealing with the fundamentals now, the building blocks. So this we're talking about real money here that we shall be demonstrating. Maybe hopefully you can, some of you will partner or participate with us. A component part is a dollar. So we want to look at the power of $1 and the five coins, five measurements, five basic ways to monetize to get a dollar, just $1. There are 293 ways in which you can do that. Let me play this audio so it'll better explain it to me.
Did you know there are 293 ways to make change for a dollar? It's true. Let me show you how. There's 100 pennies, 95 pennies and a nickel, 90 pennies and 2 nickels, 85 pennies and 3 nickels, 80 pennies and 4 nickels, 75 pennies and 5 nickels, 70 pennies and 6 nickels, 65 pennies and 7 nickels, 60 pennies and 8 nickels, 55 pennies and 9 nickels, 50 pennies and 10 nickels, 45 pennies and 11 nickels, 40 pennies and 12 nickels, 35 pennies and 13 nickels, 30 pennies and 14 nickels, 25 pennies and 15 nickels, 20 pennies and 16 nickels, 15 pennies and 17 nickels, 10 pennies and 18 nickels, 5 pennies and 19 nickels, 20 nickels, 19, wait.
Okay, I'm going to play it again, but I think you get the point here. The component parts of $1 are made up of pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and half dollars. 100 pennies equal $1. Okay, 10 dimes equals $1. 4 quarters equals $1. 2 half cent pieces equals $1. Now, like I said, there's at least 293 ways using those five fundamental coins, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and the dollar. Half dollar. 293 ways. So that's the same thing when it comes to turning a liability into an asset. I'll play this again before we move on.
Did you know There are 293 ways to make change for a dollar. It's true. Let me show you how. There's 100 pennies, 95 pennies and a nickel, 90 pennies and 2 nickels, 85 pennies and 3 nickels, 80 pennies and 4 nickels, 75 pennies and 5 nickels, 70 pennies and 6 nickels, 65 pennies and 7 nickels, 60 pennies and 8 nickels, 55 pennies and 9 nickels, 50 pennies and 10 nickels, 45 pennies and 11 nickels, 40 pennies and 12 nickels, 35 pennies and 13 nickels, 30 pennies and 14 nickels, 25 pennies and 15 nickels, 20 pennies and 16 nickels, 15 pennies and 17 nickels, 10 pennies and 18 nickels, 5 pennies and 19 nickels, 20 nickels, 19, wait.
Okay, now, next thing I want to do is, because we've been talking about tiny houses and land and all this other stuff, because you got to, once you have something built, you know, you got to have a place to place it, legally place it. Well, we're going to work with not a dollar, but 1 acre of land. Now, 1 acre of land, now let's break that down as well. 1 acre of land is also equivalent to 1 football field. It's equivalent to, on 1 acre of land, you can put 9 basketball courts. On 1 acre of land, you can put 16 tennis courts. On 1 acre of land, you can put 5 normal-sized single-family houses on 1 acre of land, or if they're duplexes, you can put 10 on there. That's on 1 acre of land. Now, when it comes to parking spaces, on 1 acre of land, you can put anywhere from 125 to 175 200 spaces apart on 1 acre of land, which can house anywhere from 250 to 350 square foot tiny homes. Once again, let's go back on a 1 acre land. 1 acre land is equivalent to 1 football field. It's equivalent to 9 basketball courts and 16 houses. And 16 tennis courts. Now, let's go back to on 1 acre land is equivalent to 1 football field. Now, on a football field, depending on the size of the stadium, because I looked up where I went to school, on our football field at West Texas A&M University, our football stadium there can hold 8,500 people in that football seats. It can seat 8,500 people. That doesn't include vendor space. But it can seat 8,500 people. Now, on a professional level, something like Chicago Stadium Soldier Stadium in Chicago, that can seat 61,000 people all on 1 acre. So in order for us to turn $120,000 liability into a $1 million asset, and that's why I titled this podcast today, 293 ways. There's got to be no less than 293 ways to do it. Now, most people get stuck because they might think of 1 or 2 ideas and they get discouraged, totally neglecting well over 200 other ways that they could have worked out the problem. In other words, because every liability can be converted into an asset. And that's what we're talking about here today. Let's see. And we're basically talking about formulas. Because when the 293 ways in which you can convert, the 5 component parts of a dollar using coins – You have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces. Those are the five component parts if we use coins, United States coins. And just with those five basic fundamental coins, there's 293 combinations that you can come up with a dollar. So when you're trying to come up with a large sum of money, okay, it could be for a car, whatever you might need money for, emergencies or what have you. Okay. And a lot of people get stuck with, well, let's use the figure of $120,000. Oh, man, I don't have $120,000. I done called my friends, relatives. None of them got that. Well, once again, this is why we call this generational wealth mathematics. Okay. Then let's start looking at, well, there's got to be 293 other ways that you just haven't explored yet. And that's why I use the example of not only the coins, but the power of 1 acre, particularly when you just, like, see, an acre, it could be, you can get an acre of land and just pitch a tent on them and call it a day or build a house on them, or you can make it into a stadium where you can see thousands of people and collect a little bit of money from a whole lot of people. Or you can convert it into basketball courts. Not 1 acre will give you 9 basketball courts. And good Lord, how many seats can you put into a basketball arena? You know, how many can you fit in a high school gym versus a college gymnasium? I know I played in places where the smallest venue might be of 5,000 people up to maybe 10,000 or more people. Some basketball arenas hold 19, 20,000 people. All right, so that doesn't even include the vendors. Tennis courts, you can put 16 tennis courts on 1 acre of land. You know, five regular-sized houses on 1 acre of land, or if they're duplexes, you just double your count, it can be 10. So, and then, like I say, just with regular parking spaces, you can get anywhere from 125 to 175 parking spaces on 1 acre land. And because we're talking about tailgate, because we're creating a tailgate village. More on that as we go. Now, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Is this the right one? Okay, so I'm going to play. I don't know if this is the right one, but we'll play it and we'll see. Because we're talking about million-dollar formula. If you get your formula, because what we're doing is we're going to work out a formula that everybody's on the same page with and just working and actually earn $1 million.
All right, so here's how you make $1 million online with a crappy one-page website. My name is Dan Brock, the Deadbeat Super Affiliate, and if you're trying to create a passive income online business from the comfort of your living room sofa, this is the channel for you. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and then tick that bell icon so that you're notified of any videos that I release when I release them. All right, so in this video, I'm going to reveal what is the lazy man's holy grail. I don't know why I just did that. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Anyway, let's jump right on in, and I'll show you exactly what you need to know. Here we go. All right, Debbie, so I saw an ad on YouTube the other day from someone claiming that they made $1 million with a simple one-page website. So in this video, I'm going to break down how you can do it too, following this super simple strategy. All right, so what you see on the screen here is a mock squeeze page that I created for a specific health niche. So this is the how to get a six-pack ab niche, and I've actually targeted this squeeze page to a specific age group. So you'll notice that's 50 years or older. So basically, the older you get, and this I'm noticing it now, the bigger your one-pack beer gut gets along with it. Now, I've never really been into the whole six-pack abs thing because I'm a lazy deadbeat, but I know there are other people out there who want it as well. So basically, the older you get, the harder it is to get a six-pack. So what you can do is create a free report. This is what I'm doing in this with this particular strategy, and give that away as a freebie. So here is a very simple mock-up of a squeeze page that converts really, really well. So this conversion rate on this particular style of squeeze page is 50 to 60% with warm traffic. So you'll notice that it's just a headline, a subheadline, and a call to action with the opt-in form. I'm only asking for email, but you can ask for names as well. I like doing just email only because the opt-in rate is a little bit better. Although there are different strategies for this, this doesn't mean that it's the only way to do it. So the way this works is this is your one-page website.
According to 2017 tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million-a-year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million-a-year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh, my gosh. You know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million-a-year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million-a-year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million-a-year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now, keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million-a-year income because it is that important to make that kind of money today because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the valuetainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million-a-year income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one is the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50-cent, half a dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million-a-year income, there's so many different ways they can break down the math to make $1 million-a-year income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million-a-year income because You got to know the formula on how to make $1 million income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month, times 12 months, you're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, if you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250, if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut, you need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get 5 people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make 4 of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need 8 sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need 2 sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission's $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need 5 real estate agents per month that make 2 sales a month for you at $500,000 to make $90,000 a month, or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1,008,000 per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm, this could be an IT firm, this could be a consulting firm, but the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me, you say it's gonna be around 300 hours. 300 hours times $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. And $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT, they sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75, that means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with 7 consultants. If you have 7 consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh. This is all I need to do make $1 million income. What do I need to do make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know a lot of smart, intelligent, logical people with four-year degrees who, you know, mastered calculus, pre-calculus, who have this down, but they have problems with this next part. And by the way, this is 20% of the work. This is 80%. Let's get on to the emotion side. So here's the emotion side. On the emotion side, you have multiple different areas. Let me start off with the first one here. And this is by far the biggest challenge people have, and that is belief. In order for somebody to make this kind of money, $1 million your income, you're not going to make it if you don't believe it. So you say, well, Pat, how do I get a chance to believe this? I never, in my wildest dreams, nobody in my family made this kind of money. I've not been around people that make this kind of money. How can I make this kind of money? Here's the kicker. You need to master the art of future truth. Now, what is future truth? A lot of people have a hard time with this. Let me explain. So imagine if you have a lot of doubt. You don't believe in you, right? You're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is great, but me making $1 million income, I don't know about that. Yesterday, I had 60 people here in my office, and I said, what is the big deal about making $1 million income? You should have seen some people's faces. Well, I don't really know if I'll ever make it, but it's kind of cool to dream about having a big house and the cars and the freedom and a few million in the bank account, but I don't know if it's for me. That's because they don't believe in it. That's because they don't understand the concept of future truth. Let me explain to you the future truth concept. Some of you may have never heard of future truth before. Here's what it is. If you're going to lie about you, you may as well tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over again. Now, at first, it's very difficult. Let me describe this to you before you get uncomfortable. For instance, I am going to make $1 million a year income. Now, I want you to say it. Say it to me real quick. Stop. Say it. I'm going to give you a second. Say it. I am going to make $1 million a year income. Say it again. Perfect. Let me ask you, was it uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're lying to yourself, right? Sometimes people say, well, Pat, I kind of was weird. I feel like I'm lying to myself. If you say, I am amazing. I'm meant to do something big with my life. I'm the guy that's going to go out there and be the hero to my family. That's difficult for some people because they're lying. But it's a current lie, but it's not a future lie. It's a future truth. It is a current lie, but it's a future truth. You see, the more you tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually believe it, future truth is you're going to make $1 million your income. This is a belief system that is very difficult for most people to do because most people think every kind of lie is a bad lie. No, I'm not telling you to go lie to your wife about some things you're doing on the side or lie to your husband about what you're doing on the side. I'm telling you, tell a good lie. I'm going to make a difference in the world. And you don't believe it. But say it a million times. You're going to end up believing it. I'm meant to do something special in my life. There's no way in the world God put me on this planet to just be a regular guy. No way. The blood in here is boiling. I want to do something big with my life. This guy was put on this planet to make a difference. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Convince everybody in the world. The entire time you're just trying to convince one person. And that is you. And that's the game of future truth. And for some of you that are making $4,000 a month for the last 20 years, you really need to start lying to yourself. You, I'm talking to you. You really need to start this moment, start telling a lie to yourself on how special of a human being you are. Over, and don't expect anybody else to do it. For instance, when you say, honey, I wish you would have told me more nicer things. Mom, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Dad, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Don't wait on them. Start with you. Number two, perspective. Here's what I mean by perspective. Sometimes you need to make the big small. Did you notice how I started the video and what did I say? I said, according to last year's tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million your income. I said that. Then what did I say? Total amount of people that have climbed Mount Everest is how many? 4,000. That perspective to you made the big small. You need to do that over and over and over and over and over and over. And over again until like, why am I thinking this is such a big deal to make $1 million your income? It is not, because you finally got perspective, you put things in perspective, and you're over and over and over and over again making a big small, 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 until eventually you're like, oh, this is not a big deal, we're going to do this as well. Number three, question everything. Everything. When your mom and dad say something and it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, it's hard to, not everybody's going to make millions. Honey, it's not us to make millions. Don't sit there and let them say it. Stop them. Listen, Mom, I don't believe you. Dad, I don't want to believe you. Bro, I don't want to believe you. Dude, I'm not with you. I don't want to buy into that concept. Say it to them. Question them. Challenge them. Don't let them get away with it by saying it around you, because if you sit there and you don't question that thing, that means you bought into it. That means you believed it. You got to question the stuff you tell yourself. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. Is that even true? I don't believe you. You to yourself, I don't believe what you're saying, bro. I don't want to believe you. I'm not buying what you just said right now. Question every single thing. Why do I believe this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I wired this way? Is that thinking even right? Why do I even do this? We had a meeting last week with my staff. This is a different meeting than yesterday. Yesterday's was sales. Last week's was staff. And one of our employees, they were required, every one of them was required to read the book Principal, and if they didn't read it, some of them were going to get fired, and, you know, we had the meeting. And I know some people, this is harsh. Look, there's a few things with me. I may look like a guy on video you like and all this other stuff. Working with me on a daily basis, the expectation and standard is here. I expect you to perform. That's the reason we create an incredible environment where people love being around. But the expectation of performance is very, very high, and the pressure is very high to perform, work, and improve. If you're the same person every 3 to 6 months, you don't need to be in this company. You need to go to a different place. So I was speaking about this, and one lady said, well, you know, in this book, what I took away from this book was the fact that I think sometimes in companies, the executives need to understand that everybody's different. And not everybody, you know, does this and does that. I said, ma'am, stop. I said, did you even read the book? No, I didn't read the book. I said, why is it that the first thing you got out of the book is how you can fix everybody around you instead of how you can fix you? You see, the only way your income's going to grow is by focusing all the things that you got to do on you to improve. If you fix you, everybody else around you is going to be fine. But you got to fix you. And I asked the following question. I said, here's a question for you. I said, what's the most money you've ever made in a year? Don't say it publicly. Just think about that number. What is the most money you ever made in a year? Then I said, go back 10 years ago. How much has that income changed and why? Why? Why has that income not changed that much? If 10 years ago you were making $16 an hour, 10 years later you're making $16 an hour, why is that? Why is your market, you know, value in the marketplace the same thing? Is it everybody's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it your boss's fault, your parents' fault, your kids' fault, your spouse's fault, or your fault? Everything here comes back to you. And it's so hard to do, but you got to face the truth. You ain't going to make $1 million your income. You don't face the truth and realize the issue's right here. And the last item to cover over here, to my left, to your right, is guaranteed formula for success. If you notice, it's got a little bit of green in it, and it's got a little bit of red in it because it's a combination of emotion and logic. It's the four things I always talk about. My guaranteed formula for success that is 100% proven for my life and other people I've taught. Outwork, outimprove, outlast, and outstrategize. Again, outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. What you're looking on the screen here, on the screen, look at those four again. What you're looking on the screen here, which of those four things that you're looking at, the outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize, which of those four things do you think comes last? Meaning you'll learn the latest. It's outstrategize. Why? Because that requires a lot of experience. It's like you got to go through like a general in the war, right? You got to go through so many different wars to learn different strategies and what works and what tactics works and what doesn't work. That's something you got to be working on, right? However, the other three, outwork, if a guy works 80 hours a week and you work 40 hours a week, you can't compete with that guy. If you yourself are reading 2, 3, 4 books a month and you're developing your mind and your competitor is not, and he only reads 1 or 2, and you study in industry articles and all this stuff, and they're not, you know, you're studying how to recruit CEOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs, what is the best way to stretch this $1 million investment that I got to make this happen? Who should I talk to be part of a group or mentors and CEOs group and all these? Who should I network with? What community should I be a part of? Who's the best engineers, IT firm to hire? What are these competitors doing? What are some of the guys that are not even in my market? If you start studying those industries, somebody else isn't. It's tough to compete with you. And then outlast. Some people work 80 hours a week for a year, and that's great. But they can't work 80 hours a week for 3 years. Some work 80 hours a week for 3 years. But you work 80 hours a week for 5 years. You outlasted the guy that did 3 years or 1 year. They can't compete with you because the compounding effort favors you. So these four things that you look at on the screen require one thing, and that's discipline. And the discipline part, you don't hear a lot about. That's the things people do when nobody else sees. That's when you win. Again, there's a part of this that's logical. There's a part of this that's emotional. Well, let me get to the last part here and wrap up the session here. So you got all these different things. Imagine this part here with you and I talking. Think about it this way. What if you, at the end of this video, what if you, watching this, you said, it makes sense. I'm going to apply some of this stuff, okay? I'm going to sit down and figure out my math. I'm going to do it, okay? And I'm going to sit down and question my beliefs. I'm going to sit down and talk about the future truth. I'm going to find a big lie and say it over and over and over again. By the way, I want you to tweet me your big lie on Twitter, at Patrick B. David, tweet me your big lie. And my favorite lie, I'm going to retweet a few of them. You tweet me your biggest lie, at Patrick B. David. What is your big lie? What is your future truth? You start working on your perspective, making a big small. You start questioning everything, challenging your thinking. You face the truth. You make a game plan to outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. you start making $1 million your income. And you become one of those 500,000 people in America that make $1 million your income. You may be in another different country and you're making $1 million your income, because principles are evergreen in all the countries outside of communism and socialism. What if you apply those concepts and you started improving? What if you did that? What would happen to you?
Okay. All right. Basic formulas here. We'll play those again now on another day. But before I go to the mic, some fundamental parts of the podcast already. All right, and once again, too, today's podcast is titled 93 Ways to Turn a $120,000 Liability into a $1 million Asset. So this is something that we shall be doing, or in the process of doing, during our 180-day, which has already started. 180-day, started like a week or 2 weeks ago. 180-day to 270-day challenge. So one of the fundamental things that we had to learn is we had to have a formula. As a review from the previous week and the week before that, let's just start off with the alphabet. The English alphabet, the American alphabet, has just 26 letters, just 26 letters. But out of those 26 letters, just in the Oxford Dictionary, there are 270,000 words that are made up from those 26 letters. Which brings on millions of books and ad infinitum. There are 10 digits in our numbering system. That's here on planet Earth, on the sun, on out to Pluto, in the universe, because mathematics is the universal language. 1 + 1 on planet Earth is the same as it is on Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, what have you. That's just the way it is. So, however, out of those 10 digits, 0 through 9, there are over a billion, there are billions of telephone numbers. Well, this is just keeping the United States. There's tens of millions of telephone numbers just right here in the United States. Billions globally. Just from those 10 digits. And once again, as I said last week and the week before last, take a look at your phone number, which is 7 digits. And your number doesn't even have all 10 digits. So we got to think in when we're coming up with ways to turn a liability into an asset, we need to look at, all right, first thing we need to know fundamentally, that there are a lot, many ways, not maybe infinite, but a lot of ways that the average person hasn't even thought of. For instance, if a person needs a large amount of money, it could be $5, it could be $120,000. And the mistake that most people make, I've made it myself too, is it's not so, you call somebody up and say, look, I need $5,000 or $100,000. Do you have it? And they say no. That's not the mistake. The key to turning a liability into an asset is awareness. That's the first step. So if you're aware that, wait a minute, there are over 200 possibilities for this, and if we explore it, you know, you can just go on from there. So as we stated earlier, you know, there are 293 ways in which you can make change with a dollar. You know, if you're already aware of that, it's 100 pennies that make a dollar, you know, nickels, dimes, quarters, and half 50-cent pieces. And then with an acre, because we're going to need a part of our formula will be $10,000 tiny houses. All right. And they got to be put on land now. Like, say, I broke down an acre. Once again, an acre could be one football field. 1 acre can house 9 basketball courts. It can house 16 tennis courts. It can house, you can put 5 single family homes on it or 10 duplexes on an acre of land. Or it can contain 125 to 175 parking spaces. Now, before I go to the phone lines and get your input on it, because we're going with the power.
According to 2017 tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh, my gosh. You know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now, keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over 6 figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life.
Okay, I kicked out. I've been third time I got kicked out of this podcast today. Anyway, what I was about to go into before I go to the phone lines, we're going back to the power of 1 acre. Now, most people in the American culture, or many people, I can't say most, but many people in American culture, you've heard of the name Michael Jordan, who is, he's now a billionaire. But if I were to give the average person, I'd say, look, would you, first thing, you know who Michael Jordan is, you know how he made his living and what he makes his money from. But if I asked you, who is the name of the guy who signs his paycheck, most of you wouldn't know. You can look it up online, but most of you wouldn't know off the top of your head. And then if I gave you if the opportunity was presented to you, you know, would you want to play basketball and make money like Michael Jordan did and not know how to play the game, not be in any physical condition to play the game? You had control of the place where he played the game, particularly his home games, all right? And in this case, it would be, matter of fact, most people don't even know the place where he plays, unless you live in Chicago, the United Center. Well, his base salary, I think, when he was playing at one time was probably $3 million, $3 million a year, something like that. You can look that up online. However, the United Center in, Chicago, Illinois, is owned by, let me get it here. I was just looking at it. 50% of it, oh, here we go. It's owned by the United Center Joint Venture. And within the United Center, anybody within the sound of my voice, you can set up a joint venture. Anybody within the sound of my voice, you can set up a joint venture of him. Okay. Now, within the joint venture, the joint venture is made up of two parties. The Chicago Bulls owns 50%, and the Chicago Blackhawks, the hockey team, owns 50% of the United Center in Chicago. That's where Jordan, now mind you, Jordan's making $3 million a year. Okay. Now, the United Center, all right, and just think about an acre of land, because anybody within the sound of my voice, you can own an acre of land. The United Center, because see, when we break this down to seats, this is where I'm talking about, if you have the awareness and then the resourcefulness, you can come up with $1 million or more. So at the United Center, for concerts, you know, because you got to think, now how can I pay Michael Jordan $3 million, let alone the other players who, you know, you're selling out at least $1 million on them too. So for concerts, the United Center can hold 23,500 concerts. So a basketball game, they have enough ticket capacity to sell 20,917 seats. I'm not even getting into the floor seats and the suites and all that kind of stuff. 20,917 seats. Standing room only, that's probably like for a festival-style show at the United Center, they can take in 23,129 people. And standing room, hockey, they can take in 19,000, they have 19,717 seats. And standing room only, 22,428 people. And it's, the field size is 960 square feet. All right. And it's from the selling of the seats that has made the owners of the Chicago Bulls, who if I asked, most people don't even know their name. And the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, the hockey team, most people wouldn't even know the owners of Chicago's hockey team. Can't name them. But those are the billionaires that signed the checks of Michael Jordan and other people that are his teammates or anybody on the hockey team, owning the venue. So there's more money in owning the venue than it is being a player in the venue. And on top of that, players typically have a short lifespan. The typical professional basketball player might last 4 years on average. And about 60% of those are broke 5 years after they retire. But that's a whole nother podcast. So just keep in mind, there's no less than, if you need any amount of money in large amounts, think on paper first, because there's definitely over 293 ways to come up with the money. So our way will be, because we got 4 acres of land in one location, so we're gonna set aside one to hold events, and we're gonna be tailgating. We got that idea from Del Mar, so we're gonna be holding tailgating events. And that will cut down on the out-of-pocket expenses that we have to come up, you know, we have to come up with, particularly at the beginning of the venture. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. 773, your mic is open.
Grand Rising, Grand Rising. How are you, Brother L.A.?
Grand Rising. Good morning.
How's it going today?
I can't complain.
Besides the podcast? Yeah, yeah.
I'm working on 293 ways.
Yeah. So, personally, you feeling okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm good, yeah. Good health.
Good.
Sunshine.
Good.
I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
You hear my grand
and
in the
yourself.
Background.
Well,
I'm happy, but yeah, my 2-year-old, Bavani. We call him Vava, and very intelligent, and the very intelligent Elijah. I call him Elijah. Mom named him Eli. I gave him the biblical verse. Well, Eli's in the Bible. However, it's a joy. Yeah,
good,
so
good.
Yeah, they enunciate very well, and they're learning to count. Big, Baba was counting up to 20, and he was learning in Spanish as well. His little brother's learning, but, you know, he's been away from me a little bit. Mom is doing a good job. Just got to be consistent, you know, with the visit, because that's what the family supplement. You talk about many, CJ, my youngest son, says, many hands make light. Guy who had the neighbor who, the house that they built with 9 friends. That was awesome.
Well, now they renovated a house with, I call
well,
it 9 friends, but the guy had
yeah,
9.
Renovated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they, 9 pickup trucks showed up, so I'm figuring there's on average at least 2 people per truck. So that 18, 19 people was able to whip that house into shape in a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome.
I mean, like I say, if you're looking at it, that's why I played that audio of the 293 ways in which you can, you know, make change with a dollar. So just apply that. In A, the guy could have tried to fix the house up by himself, and it might have taken him 293 days to fix it all by himself. Or some friends, and you know, 18 of them show up. Then what you know would have taken him 293 days by himself can be done in a matter of hours with it's like you said, many hands make light work. So it's just the same with if you need a large sum of money, let's say a person doesn't have it. In this case, we're talking about $120,000. If a person doesn't have it, that's okay, because the most valuable thing that you can do is start thinking together and be resourceful. In other words, what can we do? I mean, if there's at least 293 ways solutions out there, okay, let's start writing out what we can get. And that goes back to what that verse in the Bible or the Jewish Torah, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. When the prophet asked the lady, well, what do you have in your house? Basically, another way he can say it is, what resources do you have already at home? And when she started putting her resources together, you know, she had 2 sons. That's human capital resource. She had a roof over her head. That's another resource. But she had storage here with another resource. I haven't even got to the oil yet. She also had he also told her, well, you know, go to the community and ask to borrow jars. All those resources, five or six resources I've named, and I even haven't even named the oil. See, all she saw was the oil. But I've just named 5 or 6 resources that she had. So essentially, and, you know, one day we can count how many resources that she did have. But it was nowhere near 100. Well, there were probably over 200. I mean, we don't know how many people, neighbors that she went to. We got to figure her house was only so big. So they can only hold so many jars or containers as you put oil in them. But that's the same thing that the same principles apply towards no matter how much money that you need to get, the most important thing, you can find the money and how to get it by just thinking on paper. If you don't have a resource of mind, then call somebody who does. That's how you get the $1 million. Come up with a plan, come up with a formula. Because there's a mathematical formula, then you have the resources to add with that formula to get what you need.
Or welcome to some of these community organizations like Alderman's Office, Community Center Church.
Right. Yeah.
Or even a local school. They're public buildings. You go to the front desk, they may know, they may even have a resource list, which they do, as a matter of fact, most schools do. But they tell you, in the audience, you've never tapped into community resources and you walk into a school and they say they don't have a resource list for, like, homeless shelters, the local food stamp office, automatic office, you name it, they do have that. They do have, because they have that available for the families as well. They may have what you call an information board, parent board. So, yeah, just don't be afraid to just go and ask. And if someone has an interesting personality at a front desk and you walk in, don't let that stop you, because people are people. Not to say that that's okay, but sometimes people are having a rough day and those people shouldn't be at the front desk, because you never know. They turn around, you know, someone and they get to really just have them down for a while. So just go in and don't take it personal if someone says that they don't know, because the next two out of three, they're going to be able to share resources with the community, organization, church, school, automatic office. Yeah, so these are public servants. Yeah.
Right. Well, in our case, we made the decision last week. We're tiny houses. We build them and we sell them. We build them from one price and we sell them for $10,000. And we need to do that 100 times in order to do that. That's our basic formula. Now we already have another formula, 781, which means seven people within 8 hours can produce one tiny house that we can retail sell for $10,000. Now, we'll need a ground crew, and then we'll need an e-commerce crew, because the e-commerce crew will be, after the property is built, or while it's being built, the e-commerce team actually will, you know, they'll be taking the orders as they're completed. So, those are two formulas we got. I mean, it's anybody within the sound of my voice, particularly if you're living in the Western country, you've made $10,000, maybe in the course of a year, maybe in a course of a day or whatever, but you've made $10,000. So whatever you did to do that, do it 99 more times. Now, here's the thing. For instance, there are people out here that make six figures, $100,000 a year. In 10 years, they would have made $1 million. But the key is how fast can you make that $1 million? So, you know, if we have, what's the math on this? The former, 100, let's say we did it within, okay, 1 year. Okay, 1 year, okay. And let's do it in 10 months, just to simplify this. So build and sold 100 tiny houses in 10 months. That's 10 a month. That's 10 a month, okay, for 10 months. So, you know, we wouldn't even have to build one a day. We can probably do work for 2 weeks, work for 10 days, let's say 14 days in a month. 14. So essentially, if we do 10, you know, 10 times, that's 100,000 a month times 10 months, you know, it's not backbreaking. So the formulas that we're using is simple. We didn't have to do it 293 ways. Our two math formulas are 781, seven people. Now we're going to have to extend that for each, because you're going to need a building team that'll boots on the ground, and then you're going to need an e-commerce team. Although the e-commerce team could be maybe one or two people, and we'll touch on that tomorrow. But a boots on the ground team, an e-commerce team, and then 781, seven people, 8 hours, one tiny house, and then just that's it. Do that 10 times a month. You'll make $100,000 a month, $1 million in 10 months. That's it. Out of 293 ways, we saw what we need to do just in two formulas. That's it. But I'm just saying, if we didn't come up with those two formulas, hold it. We can expand from that, okay? Because what's the platform we're going to sell on? But we can speed that up by, because you have Facebook Marketplace, we can sell on there. We can sell on eBay auctions. We can also sell on eBay Buy It Now. We can also sell on Craigslist. That's five platforms right there. If we sell in Canada, we can sell on Kijiji. Kijiji is sort of like Craigslist for Canada. So, and the other, for YouTube, I forgot about that. We can do, YouTube Live, that'll be six. There's Facebook Live. There's YouTube 8. And there's Zoom. That's nine. And I'm sure there's a few others WeChat, that's 10. So that's at least 10 platforms that if we had 10, well, we can do it a couple of ways because this adds on to it. We can do a live build from scratch, 10 of them all simultaneously at the same time. Now, we would have to expand our on-the-ground team, and we would have to expand our e-commerce team, but it can be done. If you want to do it in 1 day, 5 days, or stretch it out to 10 days. But that your collapse time, if you did it all in 1 day, that's $1 million in 1 day. Let's go to the phone lines here. 347, your mic is open.
Hello, everybody. This is Daryl from New York. How y'all doing?
Fine,
greetings.
Now, exactly what you said, L.A., that is true. I saw something yesterday. I was watching this guy, and he was telling the top streamers like Mr. Beast, how Justin Bieber made it. I think other guy did Pee Wee Pie, something like that. And when you go across the different platforms, even if you do Instagram, you do across the platform, and see how we doing this thing right now. So if you want to do it like on YouTube and you put in the premium, or you do a yard stream and you bring in like me or somebody else, interview us. And then what, some of the guys that I know, you know, they actually, they subscribe to one another. So once you subscribe to one another and you have like, I think it's 100 videos. Once you do like 100 videos, you see how you do your video. Well, once you do like 100 videos, you do it on Blog Talk, but like if you do 100 videos, and then like, you know, if you were to break it up, you see how right now your this program goes like about an hour, but if you were to break it up and you put ads
right
in there, and then that would be a way to generate income from the people that you're streaming on, you know. Then
right,
like if you have nobody, and then from there, then you can build your projects that way. Like if you want to put up the house. So, like, for streaming on YouTube and then YouTube paying you, now you have the resource, the income to put up the projects. And you know, Instagram, a lot of people follow Instagram. And then, and see, I know Uber is making a lot of money, you know. You know, they're making a lot, like, tons of money because it's, like, the delivery. Imagine, like, that formula that you did with the guy was the consultant, and, you know, with $150 an hour. You know, so imagine like the Uber, they're not making like $150. They maybe make like so like maybe $5 an hour, you know. But they, how many people
uh-huh
doing the delivery? You know, you have a lot of people, it's their first time in the country, you know, they want a piece of the American pie. And they, you know, a lot of their jobs is like delivery, you know, pizza shops, restaurants and things like that, delivery services, you know, whether it be like clothing, like, you know, a laundry. And it makes up a lot of people. And so even when it comes time to that, you know, they're making a lot of money. Like it would be a good investment, you know, like Uber would be a good investment. Facebook would
right
be a good investment. You know, let me see what else. Instagram would be a good investment. Like stocks and stuff like that. So these are other.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Instagram. I'm glad you brought up Instagram because I totally forgot about that. But yeah, you can have what a tiny house or whatever else you're selling. You can put it. I mean, let's see, you can put it on many platforms.
TikTok
as many
too
platforms
so
as
TikTok
you want. Yeah, TikTok.
Sure.
I forgot TikTok's another big one. Right.
Yeah. So not only
you're
you
right.
Know, you put
TikTok's another one. Yeah.
And it don't have to be long. It just could be short clips. But it'll get the message out there. It get the message out there. Get the people looking at your platform. And once they look at your platform, you get the views, you know. And then they'll pass that information on. They'll pass it on. Just like a resource desk. You know, you'll be used. People use it as a resource desk. Oh, they, you know, they saw it. Now they use you as a resource desk, passing on to other people who are interested in buying a tiny house. You know, the first time and they'll branch out. Oh, I got a tiny house right now. You know, I really don't have nobody to work for me, but eventually when I have a family, I can expand, move from a tiny house to a larger size of house, maybe a duplex, you know. So you can have a platform say, look, okay, this is a tiny house, but if you want a duplex, okay, we do duplexes too, you know. We'll do the next size up from a tiny house. You know, so it's really amazing like that, you know, what you got going on, your views, you know, I know it's going to become a reality very soon.
Well, it all starts, that's why I played that, the first video, audio where, you know, how many ways can you make change for a dollar? 293. So, because everybody can relate to a penny, and they know how many pennies make a dollar, nickels, dimes, quarters, up to a 50-cent piece. So you can that's $1. So you can apply the same fundamental principle to any amount of money that you want, and that's why, you know, I took an acre and just, you know, how you can fundamentally break that down, as well as numbers 0 through 9, goes into the billions. So you start off with something that you can relate to and just work with that. I think everybody can relate to a $5,000 or $10,000 house. So it's just a matter of, all right, just don't do it once. You know, do it 100 times. I give you a good example. Donald Trump's dad, Fred C. Trump, he had two basic cookie cutter homes. Now he built other things, but his bread and butter homes, the foundation of the Trump empire of today, his two bread and butter homes. This is Fred Trump, not Donald, because Donald had some brothers and sisters, all that too. He had one home that he made, built. He sold. Now this was what he sold it for. $3,999, and the other one for $4,999. That was his bread and butter homes. Doesn't sound impressive, doesn't sound sexy, but he built and sold. He did that over 27,000 times, and that's how they got into the billionaire club.
So one thing,
take something simple and just keep on doing it.
So how was do they have the blueprint like, you know, the floor plans? Is it possible to get them floor plans? Duplicate that today, you know, duplicate it today or some type of floor plan or model?
If you look for it online, you can probably find, because pictures of them and maybe the blueprints, I'm sure. But the key of the thing is the selling price. Now, when he sold those, you know, we got to look at the time that he sold those. Now, if you bring that to 2024, okay, because the audios that I've been playing are like Solar Cabin, Lamar Alexander. Now, this is in real time in 2024. You can build a cabin today for $2,000. You can do that in 2024. If you go to that's by you going to Lowe's. If you go to Lowe's, Home Depot or Ace, a Lumber 84, whatever you got in your neck of the woods, you can go buy. I just bought a couple of weeks ago, $40. I needed some furring strips. I spent $40 on it. But you can look online and see how much lumber costs. But for $2,000, he built a cabin. Now, he got his solar system for his lights, electric, and all that using solar panels. He went to Harbor Freight. And if you go on, Harbor Freight has a website. And matter of fact, while we're talking on the phone right now, if you look it up, go to Harbor Freight. And then when you get to the Harbor Freight website, punch in solar panels and then see how much they're selling for. Matter of fact, yeah, go to Harbor Freight, and then when you get there, look up, matter of fact, after this part, well, this afternoon, like I have a miter saw, which I had to cut some of my wood with, so I got to install a blade, but I got the miter saw from Harbor Freight, but they sell solar panels there, too, at Harbor Freight.
And what do you want me to look for
on LA?
A solar panel?
Solar panel.
Okay.
Yeah,
solar panel, okay. I see, let me see, is this them? Thunderbolt solar panel, 100 watts, okay. I see $169. And 99 cents.
Now, is that for a solar panel kit?
Yes, it is. It says solar Thunderbolt solar panel, 100 watts, solar panel kit.
All right. By the way, how much for it is? Repeat that again.
It is $169.99.
Okay. Well, I mean, now that size system, That'll take care of your lights. He spent $3,000 on his, so he probably, because he needed enough. Like I said, the kit that you're talking about, That basically can take care of about three rooms, particularly if you got the right light bulbs. Lamar Alexander spent about $3,000 on his, so he probably bought several kits or in some batteries along with it. His system costs $3,000. But because I think in his video, his audio, I think he got it from Harbor Freight. Matter of fact, let's just find out directly. Now, I played this a gazillion times, but this guy built this cabin for $5,000, a little bit under $5,000, but just around $5,000. But that's what can be done right now in 2020. What we'll be doing.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about three-fourths of an acre.
Okay, thank you.
And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000.
Okay, he spent $2,000 to build the cabin by himself, and he went to Harbor Freight and put together a 350-watt system for his vacuum, all his electrical needs. Now, Daryl, see if you can if Harbor Freight sells a 350, if they still sell a 350-watt system, if they don't, he probably put it together. If they don't have it, Amazon definitely has it. Matter of fact, look that up too on Amazon. 350-watt solar home system. That's the way to look it up. 350-watt solar home system. See what that is selling for today, which you can probably get that for less expensive than when he bought it. So now we're talking about $5,000. Essentially, let's do what Fred Trump did. $5,000. If you do that 200 more times, you've got $1 million. He did it over 27,000 times. So let's take $5,000 that, you know, after something's built and multiply it times, that'll give you $130. If you do it 27,000 more times. Now, granted, you're not going to do it by yourself, because when you go back and you listen to the audio that we played earlier, you know, Steve Harvey mentioned in some videos I've played in the past, you know, once you get to a certain level, you're going to need help. You're going to need help. So Fred Trump's day, he didn't sell that. He didn't do all that by himself. You know, when those numbers go up, you know, you're going to have to be a blessing to other people. And then when everybody gets blessed, you know, it just keeps on going. All right. So, you know, what do you want to build one, sell it once, and make $5,000 or $10,000? Or are you willing to do it, you know, 200 times in a year, make $1 million? Or do you just want to do it, you know, over a series of years and do it over 27,000 times? And you might have problems, but money won't be one of them. I'm just saying. Okay. But we're just talking about simple math formulas. The Trump dynasty, Walmart started off in Rogers, Arkansas, from a five and dime. You know, selling five and dime art, 5 cent and 10 cent art. You know, it was the precursor to the dollar store. Selling items for five. Sam Walton and his wife Alice started off selling 5 cent and 10 cent items. Into billions. That's why we go with the fundamentals. There's only 10 digits, fundamental digits, 0 through 9. It's how many combinations do you want to work it out with? With a dollar, the 200 and tip, all you need to do is find the formula along with the widget that works for you. It's different for many people. Some people, it's only limited to the imagination. So, Daryl, you find a 350-watt system?
Yes, I did. I went to Arbor Freight. They didn't have it. So I went to Amazon. Amazon, they have something. Now, they have like the 400-watt, which is not worth buying. The reason why, because for that price that they're selling it at, which is $769, you can get two 220 watts solar panels from anywhere for like $183. So that would be the better.
But now, are they selling now? Because along with the solar panels, you're going to need a system to connect it all, which is an inverter. So what is the 360-watt panel? What is that system? What's all included in that system?
Well, they have one. This is a limited-time deal. This looks like it has, like, the kit. This is a 220-watt solar panel. That's $183. So if you put two of them together, you come out better than the one that they're selling either for 400 watts, which is $769.
Uh-huh.
and they have another one that is 600. Let me see how. Okay, they even have another one that's $337, but that doesn't look like it have a does. It look like it doesn't have a kit. And then they have another one, a 600 watt one, which is $679. That has a kit. So you once you look around.
Okay, now most likely. Those kits, probably most of those kits probably do not include batteries. So we're going to do a podcast just on that, how to size up a solar home system and what the cost will be on that. Because he spent, you said 350. That's what could have been for the panels and all that. But you're going to need an inverter. And you're going to need a battery system because think about a solar system for your home just like your cell phone, your smartphone. It's exactly like it. All our smartphones have batteries, okay? And we know we can talk so many hours or watch movies or do a bunch of things, play games, whatever. We know that battery is good for a certain amount of time, and then we have to recharge it. It's the same thing that's, with Lamar or anybody with a solar home system, essentially, is along with what you've looked up, we also have to find out the price of batteries. So, if you want to binge watch Netflix at night or whatever, or do the vacuum cleaner or microwave or whatever.
I do see one.
You won't be able to use power. You won't have to have – you can't have anything with a heavy draw on it, like a central AC system. That's not going to work. But you can still have a cooling system with just something that draws – but like I said, I'm going to have somebody come in and break all that down. In the future. Real near future, too, probably next week.
LA, are you
still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I do see one. It comes with a generator. And that one is priced at $2,000. My phone is $2,748. $2,748. That one comes with a generator.
Now, that, in my opinion, would be how many watts for it?
That is, that one says 350 watts. I'm going to read it to you. It's called a Blue Yeti Solar Generator, AC240 with 350 watt solar panel. Include 156, I guess that's watts, something watts, 2,400 W, I guess that watts again, solar generator, expandable to 1,036 WH, I'm not sure what that means, IP65 water resistance, life battery backup, emergency power for camping, home RV.
Okay,
that seems like
that'll be a good system to get. That's more in line with what Lamar was talking about. So, $2,000 for the cabin, and then $2,000. So that's 4,000 right there. Let's throw another 1,000 in for miscellaneous. So we're talking about April 2024, you can still do what Lamar was talking about. So this is what we're going to do. So essentially, we build for one price, and we sell for no less than double that price. And like I say, if you do it 100 times, you would have grossed $1 million. And that's, let's just stretch it out to 10 months. That's 10 a month. That's 10 a month. You got 30 days in a month, or you got 20 business days in a month, okay? Or some people might do 24 business, because some people do work Saturdays. But 10 a month, That's not rushing or anything like that. And we might start off something light, and, you know, you just do the same thing over and over and over again. And tomorrow we'll start, because we're going to need a boots on the ground team of at least 7, and we're going to need an e-commerce team. And this is 3 of us right now on the line, me, you, and Reba. So we'll start off with us 3 tomorrow and come up with the blueprint, which you've come up with some of this is already. You're already located. And Daryl, send me that link. Text me that link for that one that costs $2,000.
LA, you don't have
already
a
know.
Channel, right?
Say that again.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Say that again,
Do you have a YouTube channel on YouTube? Okay, all right.
Yeah, the YouTube channel is BRY. B as in by, B-U-I, I is it, and Y as in yourself. It stands for Build It Yourself Shacks, B-I-Y Shacks. That's the name of the YouTube channel.
So, B-I, Build It Yourself. So it doesn't have
yourself,
an F on the end.
Yeah, BRY Shacks.
Okay, all right.
That's the name. That's the YouTube channel. And I really haven't used that channel that much, but anyway. But that's it.
No, but it's still
and just
good
for email's sake.
Because you
email
know,
sake, my email
people.
Is. Oh, go ahead. I'm listening.
No, go ahead. You finish, LA.
Email is BIYShacks@gmail.com for people that want to know. BIYShacks@gmail.com. Anyway, but we'll be doing here within the next 3 days or less. We're going to start doing live streams where anything we're talking about tomorrow, what we're doing, what's tomorrow? Wednesday? Yeah. So we got this week, because part 4 tomorrow is we're going to be, because we already know, we got the formula. 781, we need to put it on the ground team and the e-commerce team for the marketing. And then, it's really, I mean, an 8-year-old can pick this up. I mean, $5,000 or $10,000 times 100 is $1,000,000. We've already got our formulas. So all we need to do is just put together, plug this into what platforms or what pieces do we need to plug in, to get the show on the road.
Now, excuse me, Ellie, say that again, right? I'm in my email. So your email is
BIY Shacks.
Okay, no. This is B as in boy, right?
Yeah, B as in boy, I as in it.
Yes.
B as in build, because that's what it stands for. B as in build, I as in it, I-T, and then Y as in yourself. Build it yourself, Shacks, BIY Shacks, @gmail.com.
Now, that Shack is S-H-A-C-K-S.
K-S. Yeah, K-S.
Oh, @gmail.com. Okay.
Right.
I'm gonna send you that now. So you're getting it from Mr. Darrell at yahoo.com.
Okay.
@gmail. Gmail.
So I would say a person that needs a certain amount of money, what you need more than the money is a formula on how to get the money. So we, I mean, I, 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 I don't want to talk it to death, but I mean, hey. And the guy, that's why I played the 22 minutes of the guy Patrick. And what, Daryl, I sent you the video. Check that video out. And he has a worksheet that you can, I think, download from YouTube or something like that. But it's really that simple. I mean, it's we don't have to think of 293 ways. Just, you know, come up. Well, anyway, for what we're doing, we done got it. So we just had to just act on where we are. And tomorrow we'll pinpoint dates with specific tasks on this. So that'll be picking up from today. All right. Now that we've got our formula, then we're going to select platforms tomorrow. And also take inventory of what we have already on hand to build, what tools we already have on hand to build, and then we'll look at locations as well. So other locations than other than here. So we'll take our time out tomorrow to do that. So that's all I've got on this end. Daryl, anything else, Reba?
No, just call me later on if you want to continue after, you know, if you're able to continue. Are you able to continue a little after this, a little after the call, or a little later on today? Are you available?
Yeah, later on today. I tell you what, give me a call after 4 o'clock. We're in the same time zone. After 4 o'clock today, and then we'll pick up, and that'll help us get a head start on tomorrow.
Okay,
well, guys, I would also love to share. I'd like to share what happened on yesterday with our registration day. So this week we're registering for the Black Youth Metropolis Fine and Performing Arts After School Program, first ever Fine and Performing Arts program at the Grand Ballroom Chicago, which is a luxury venue event center in the hood of the city, in the inner city of Chicago. So it's located at 6351 South Cox Grove. The number for information is 773-449-8839. Again, the number is 773-449-8839. You're text for a link to our website. And again, that's the Black Youth Metropolis Enterprise for Entrepreneurship in the Arts.
Excuse me, Reba.
So,
Reba,
yeah,
how many?
Mm-hmm.
Reba, how many people can the the ballroom accommodate?
Well, 800 without tables. There have been national conventions, town hall meetings, and so forth. I think it was Robert Doliak. I'll pull up. There was a big town hall. It was someone who was running for office. I don't think it was with Doliak. Nevertheless, standing room only. So the tables were wherever they were, but standing room only. So there were chairs out, and then around the wall, standing room only. 800. However, I don't know how many people were in there that day. This is years ago. But 400 with tables. So we have 10 people to a table, and then with those 40 tables, you still have floor space to dance. But it actually fits 800. So there's an elevator to accommodate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many people can, you already told me that. How much is it to rent it out for the day?
Well, it depends on the type of event because we have certain accommodations. So the I could actually get the owner on maybe tomorrow I can get him on. Try him. He'll have his lunch break while we're on the air, I'm sure, or like if we're going into the noon hour. Generally, he'll take calls and just be brief because he's able to, you know, take a minute here or two. Generally, it starts at $1,800 for 4 hours. There is an industrial kitchen available if the who has someone to prepare food who is licensed or certified, has their food service sanitation license. Then we have, of course, I just mentioned that we have an elevator to accommodate those who need that. There are also food warmers. If the food is already prepared, you want to keep it warm. So for the events, we provide the tablecloth in an array of colors, tablecloth is and chair covers. So we don't allow plastic, but then we do have, of course, keep housing rules. So different amenities come with the rental. So, again, it starts at $1,800 for 4 hours. And with that amount of people, you're having a ticketed event, you can certainly, you can make your money. $10 per person,
okay.
You can make your money back. Mm-hmm.
No, what I was
so
thinking
we're talking about
of,
those numbers again. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Organizing a potential home buyers or affordable housing event. I'm just thinking out loud, so.
Okay.
That's why.
Well, I do actually make arrangements for organizations, not-for-profits, for a special rate. However, that would generally take to bring those funds in within 30 days of the event. They would still put their 50% deposit down. Within 30 days, so that date is just actually solidified. It holds. A lot of times people, and I actually work with organizations, small businesses and organizations, not-for-profits included, in order to raise funds. Once they have their deposit, it's basically they are able to hold their date and we can go ahead and get their sponsors and so forth in. Ticket sales are pretty, I do not prefer Eventbrite, but if that person has their network set up, that would be something that would make things easy. But I wouldn't say put all of your tickets through Eventbrite. You want to be able to sell tickets in between time. People who may not be, a lot of people still don't want to put their card information online. You know, so much fraud out here. However, I generally always make sure that my clients have physical tickets to sell until the day of the show. And then the tickets that are left could be sold at the door. They would be, a lot of the organizations,
hello?
Like they have this one group. I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. There's one group that has standing room only parties, fourth Sunday. It's called Good Time Productions. They generally, it's another price at the door. If their tickets are $8, it's $10 at the door. Another group, they have $10 tickets and then $15 at the door. So generally, you, of course, want to get your tickets in advance. You may not necessarily be able to get a good seat. You can generally see those parties, even those larger parties, you know, 400 people, you can still get a seat. But you may, you know, you want to get your preference in. And we always allow people to reserve tables for their group. So it's really a nice
okay,
venue. State-of-the-art sound system. There's a drop-down video. I'm looking at encouraging the owner to get the LED. There are flat screens, wall-to-wall bar. And I'll send you a link. Yeah, so you guys want to go and look at Grand Ballroom Chicago or dial 773-449-8839. Again, 773-449-8839, and I can send you guys a link. Yeah, so he actually
okay.
wants to make sure that he's available to the community. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, well, before Blog Talk kicks us off, as they did not yet, well, we weren't on yesterday, the day before. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day. Daryl, call me after 4.